Welcome back here to Charlotte, the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour, sponsored by Duffy Sports Grill. Joe, we'll send it back to you.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Al Riveron, head of ACC officiating, longtime NFL official as well, and still a very young man living here in South Florida. And Al joins us this morning. We're just talking off the air, so many things going on. And I always wonder this, because as you know, you guys get a lot of calls right, but when you don't, people, you know, especially people gambling, you got to hear all the whining, complaining. You told me, though, the numbers overall, Al, are pretty good, though.
Well, Joe, first of all, good morning. Thanks for having me. And let's go back to the young part. You got to keep saying that during this segment. It makes me feel good when somebody says I'm still young.
Well, that means I'm older than you, Al. That's why I had to say that.
Well, I would say pickleball, but that's a bad word with you. Just stand
the
tennis court.
Yeah, don't do that. Tennis,
yeah,
exactly.
No, I wouldn't do it to you, Joe. So we talk about calls, and obviously you and I were talking off air here a second ago. It's if you have to evaluate somebody and you have an employee that works for you, and they are correct 98% of the time after you do your review, I'm sure you'd be pleased with him, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, that's the rate that the officials in college football perform at.
Wow.
But unfortunately, that other 2% is the one that really people worry about. And as I told you off air also, as long as coaches coach, you show me the last time that a coach put their players in the correct scheme 177 plays in a row, and I'll, you know, let's hire that guy forever. As long as coaches coach, players play, and officials officiate, we're going to make mistakes. The last time that Dan Marino went 30 for 30, when was that? It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So we're going to make mistakes, and obviously that 2% is going to show up. And hopefully we sit there and we say we hope it doesn't happen in a critical part of the game, what we call a game impact call. And if it doesn't happen there, then we're okay. We move on to the next one.
So, Al, I got to ask you, one of the big ones has always been the targeting call because of the amount of time guys leave and you have to – decide, and you know, defenseless player, the whole thing you take in as you review it. What's your thoughts on it and how college football's handled it?
Well, player safety is number one. If we don't protect our athletes, and if that doesn't trickle down to Joe, to the not only to the high school level but to the youth league level, we got to make sure that Mr. and Mrs. Smith are okay with the rules and let Sally and Johnny play. And we've got to make sure that we protect our game, and that's number one. That's just paramount. And when you look at the targeting rule, like you said, it's divided up into two different sections. We have the defenseless player, where he cannot be forcibly contacted to the neck or head area. And then we have the second part of the rule, which entails targeting with the crown of the helmet. And that one's defined as a 6-inch radius at the top of the helmet. I think college football is at a great place. As we can see, the targeting has gone down year after year. We understand that sometimes we're sitting there watching the game on TV or live, and the naked eye really doesn't pick up what happened. But then when we stop it and we look at it, we do see the targeting, or we see the contact to the neck or head area. And that's something that the coaches have done a terrific job. The players have done an excellent job, and it's moving in the right direction. But we still have to be very concerned. As you know, we have the data now. We have the medical data that tells us that there are certain ways to make a tackle and certain ways not to make a tackle. And we have to make sure that we adhere to that.
Al, one thing I really like we were just talking off the air about is the review and how quickly it seems to me college football is able to get the call, get it right, and get back and get the game going again.
Well, you said it there, Joe. The second part about it is the first part about it is getting it right. You mentioned that number two. And then there's a time. We understand that we have to maintain the flow of the game. I go back to 8 seconds of play, 177 plays, and if you do the math, our college game takes about 321, 322 to play. There's a lot of non-football playing time in there. And the last thing we want is to stop the game and go back to Charlotte or Birmingham, whatever it is, and then watch some guys handle a targeting or did he step out of bounds. But I tell you, in the ACC, we do a terrific job. We were number one in the country last year as far as our review time. We really expedited the process, and we were good. We have a good flow going in Charlotte.
You're familiar with the NFL game as a part of your life for a long, long time. I'm just curious, this big debate of whether guys need to do it year-round and need to be in schools when they're not, and you can't just do it the way it's being done. Do you like the way they're doing it, or do you think officials need to spend more time in the offseason really studying the craft?
Joe, when you get to this level and then to the next level, if you're not putting in your time, and what's time? Unfortunately, in football, we play one game a week, where in basketball, you really can officiate every night if you want to. So we can only practice our craft at this level one day a week. However, technology, this is where technology has really stepped up. We're at the point now where we have so much technology that the guys and gals can practice their craft. I mean, we know where their eyes are going. We know where they're looking. We can do all that with technology. We tried in the National Football League a few years ago with full-time officials. And at the end of the year, we did a study. And the results really did not show that major improvement for what was invested and for the time that the officials put off during the offseason. So unless somebody comes up with another wild idea, really right now, there's nothing that shows that standing in the sidelines. And as you know, now during the week with no contact, with the amount of contact there is, you really can't practice your craft the way you do on Saturdays or Sundays.
Yeah, no question. Hey, so the two calls that we always hear about at football at every level, pass interference, two guys pushing and shoving all the way down the field, and the second one is you could call holding on the line of scrimmage just about every play if you wanted to. How tricky is that one when you're getting your officials ready for bump and run to the big guys going at it inside?
Well, I think we're in a good place with holding. When you look at holding, you have to go materially affected. Did the defender lose his feet? Was there a clear path to the quarterback or to the runner, and then the defender got taken down? And those are some of the things that you look at, and we try to teach our guys and gals. And, you know, you guys sit there and say, well, that was a real late flag. Well, there's no late flag. You see what you think is a hold, and you look at it again, and you go, is it a hold? Is it a hold? Is it a hold? Did it have a bearing? Did it have an effect on the play? And then you drop your flag, because it's not only about grabbing and technique. It's about, was that player restricted? Was he taken to the point where he got taken out of his lane? Was he taken down? And all that has to come into consideration before you pull the flag out of your pocket. And then as far as PI, basically you have two forms of PI, or you have two ways to look at it. What happens prior to the ball getting in the air? Did the offensive player create an advantage through separation with a pick, with a push-off? Right. And then for DPI, again, you have to have material effect. There's touching, there's grabbing, but again, material effect. Did I do something by rule to really keep you away from going after the football? Yeah. Contact by itself and two players going down is not a foul. Did I do something that materially affect your path towards the ball, both on offense and on defense?
So, Al, I got to ask you, I guess the reports can come in from the coaches. If they don't like a call, they'll send a review or want to get an expert, you know, you guys to explain to them what the call was about. Do you have to answer all those, and do you get on the phone with coaches every week to go over things that they may disagree with?
We have a system, Joe, where they can send in certain questions, and I answer the questions. I look at the video, and I answer the questions. And I tell them the truth, you know, and it's like that Jack Nicholson movie. If you can't handle the truth well, then we move forward. But I tell them the truth. Yeah. When we're wrong. And when we're right, I'm going to hold my ground. And, yeah, there's certain guys that I talk to on the phone periodically. Me, personally, I'd rather talk to them on the phone as we're watching video than write something down, because I think a lot of times when you write certain things down, it's not as effective as you and I on the phone. And we can agree to disagree at the end, but as long as at the end we have mutual respect, we're good. But, yeah, they ask questions every week. I would, too.
Yeah. Hey, Al, so the future for high school. I know it's hard. They're having trouble finding good officials at the high school level. How do you find one of those special guys if you want to add more people? And how good do you think the high school officiating is? Because that's kind of where it starts, and even youth tackle football starts even earlier. What are your thoughts on at the high school level?
At the high school level, especially in Miami and South Florida, we play great football, as you know. So we have to keep up and make sure that we have the same kind of officiating. And I'll tell you, when I go out and look for an official, and I'm, as you know, right by Tropical Park, I go out there once in a while and watch games like I don't watch any football, right? So what we're looking for is we're looking for a guy or a gal. First of all, can he keep up? Can she keep up? I mean, I cannot put myself on the field today. I have to say that. Can they keep up physically? Do they look the part? Do they pass the eye test? Then I don't even look for a hold or a PI. I look at their communication. I look at their mechanics. I look at how they're communicating with, with the players and the sidelines. Then I might get into a call or two. But there's so many things that we look at before, because we can teach the philosophy of PI and holding. We can do that, but there's certain things that you have to have on your own when you come in.
So just to follow up to that, Al, and this maybe has more to do in the NFL. Sometimes we hear officials get out of position because the game is so fast that they can't keep up. Is that fair, where they're not in position or they don't have good anticipation of where they're going to be for a deep, whether to make a call in a deep post pattern because they're so far away from the play? Does that happen from time to time?
It does happen, Joe. And the key here is if we can get you at the right place at the right time at that mesh point, if we can get you at that mesh point when that corner stops or when that receiver stops and he cuts in or out and we can get your eyes at that mesh point, we're in good shape, and most of the time we're going to make the right call. Now, another thing the officials do during the week, they scout. The same way the two teams that they have coming on Saturday, they scout him. And we're not looking for 62 if he holds on every play. We're looking at on third and fourth with 2 minutes to go, and they come out in this set, in this formation. We know number two is going to clear the path, go downfield. Number one's going to step in and then cut out to the sideline.
Right.
And number three is going to dart across the middle and hopefully run into a linebacker. And that's the kind of stuff that we look at and we scout during the week. And that's where the officials, those 3.5 hours on Saturday, those are the easy ones, man.
Yeah.
It's all the work and all everything you put in during a week, the 30 hours on video, the tests you take, the meetings you go through. That's the tough part. But if you don't go out there and you don't do your homework, it's going to show real quick and it's ciao bella. We're not going to see you again.
Al, it's always nice getting caught up with you, man. Really appreciate you. You're coming on with us this morning here, talking a little bit about the officiating, because you guys never win. We never hear about great calls. As you said, we only talk about those one or two calls, and my team got screwed. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, man. You owe me a croqueta and a café cubano.
Okay. Al Riveron, head of ACC officiating.